And it is time to pop off on the Pop Off Radio Show. Hi, Mary Jane Pop here. Got a good one. Speaking about a great story, we want to tell you all about Happy. And Happy happens to be an elephant. And the story behind Happy is incredible. And I loved it, and I want to share it with you. All right, you always can hear that and know what it is. It's a herd of elephants. Have you seen some of the commercials on TV about the devastation of elephants around the world? It is so sad. I can't tell you how sad it is every time I see it. But I don't know. Georgia, well, we have people like Georgia Umano. She feels there is not enough done to help these wonderful creatures. But listen to this. Bronx Zoo resident Happy, the elephant, was recently in the news when she went to court. Now, animal welfare activist Georgia has this fascinating story. And her latest endeavor is her book called Terriers in the Jungle. We'll find out about that. Georgia, nice to have you with us on Pop Off.
Oh, thank you. I love being here.
You know, it's so funny that I'm talking to you today because it was just last evening. I love watching the series called The Zoo, and they go to all the different zoos, the Bronx Zoo, San Diego Zoo, et cetera. And they featured one of their stories about Happy, at the elephant at the Bronx Zoo. She's like, what, 50 years old now?
Oh, I think she might be older. She's been at the zoo for 45 years.
Wow.
And before that, she was with another group after she was taken from her native land, Thailand, and along with her six siblings. They were all brought over to the U.S., and they were with a place called the Lion Country Safari in Florida for several years. One of them died, and then they were shuffled off to different zoos in the United States.
What I like about the Bronx Zoo and the San Diego Zoo and several of the others, there's one in Miami also, they really work for the preservation of animals. And if they can turn them back loose, they do that too. So, and a lot of the species that they work with are, from what I understand, very close to extinction. So, you know, I think some of the stuff that they're doing is wonderful.
Yes, some of this stuff may be especially for the smaller animals. However, I don't believe that they're in a position to really help the big animals enough.
I tend to agree with you on that. But, you know, elephants like Happy, and I think Patty was the other one that is housed close to her. They don't quite get along from what the zoo said. So they have a fence in between the two of them, but they're in the same area. But now, how did this happen that Happy actually went to court? What was the story behind that?
Well, there's an organization called the Non-Human Rights Project, and I'm a member of it, too, and we're working to get more rights for animals. Uh-huh. They should have certain inalienable rights, just like humans do, especially an elephant. Some of the smarter elephants, I mean, the smarter animals on Earth, the whale, the chimpanzee, the elephant, these have been the main subjects of their work so far. And an elephant, if you get to know an elephant, I've been to Kenya seven times, and I lived there the last time, and I went to live there and help elephants. Mm-hmm. So I came really up close and personal with the elephant, and I can attest to their amazing beauty, strength, intelligence, and kindness that they exhibit naturally. Did you know that an elephant's brain, when it's born, is bigger than a human baby when it's born, the whole baby?
Huh.
An elephant has a huge brain. An elephant is a very intelligent animal. You know, they've been on Earth longer than human beings, and they help to shape the Earth because everywhere they go, they're always eating because they're so large. No, they eat a lot, and they eat, and they walk, every day. They walk miles and miles, and when their digestive systems aren't that great. So after they eat the trees and the leaves, and then they keep walking, and then their poop comes out, and there's a lot of undigested seeds in there. And so what happens is new forests come up wherever they went. And
really?
This was like years ago, even before humans. They were largely responsible for shaping much of our earth and where the forests are.
Huh.
And they, you know, they take care of themselves. They're very good to each other, and they're good to other animals, unlike humans.
I've always said this, you know, animals, if they attack, it's for self-preservation, food, something that they absolutely have to do to survive. Humans, unfortunately, hurt other humans for pleasure, and we're the only ones who do that.
I know. Other humans and other animals Mother Earth herself, we kill.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel that the elephant is a very noble creature, and they're a herd animal. They always grow up close to their mothers and close to their herds. In every herd besides the mother, there are usually several younger female elephants who become nannies for the baby.
Oh.
So the babies are very catered to and taken care of very well, and they learn everything from their herds and their families, and they can communicate among each other. They don't forget if they met one 5 years ago. They'll remember, you know, they even remember human beings who have been kind to them. In Africa, there's been stories where, you know, somebody who worked with elephants was kind to them, and then they passed on. Hundreds of elephants come and pay their respects.
Wow.
They just know, you know. So it seems very, to me, a travesty to put an elephant in a zoo with a cage and alone. It's total torture for an elephant. If you look at the way an elephant really lives in the wild.
Well, they travel a lot of miles. I understand that.
They do.
In the zoos, they're not really behind a cage. They do have some very big open areas for them, don't they?
Nothing compared to where their natural habitats. I've never seen the actual cage where Happy lives. But for instance, Billy, we've had a program in Los Angeles here a few times to try to release Billy the elephant from the Los Angeles Zoo. And he's still in there.
Release him to what?
To a sanctuary.
Oh, to a sanctuary.
We have three accredited sanctuaries in the United States where the elephants live, where they have lots of room, and they have the freedom to go wherever they want, to eat whatever they want. And they're make sure all their basic needs are there, but they give them the most possible freedom that they can have, being that they were taken from their native lands and their family.
Yeah, because they could never go back to the native land. They could never go back to their native land after they've been here for so long a period, right?
Probably not. I mean, they don't have all the skills that they would have been developing all that time, but they do have the instincts and the inclinations. And also, you know, many elephants in zoos, they end up with debilitating arthritis in their feet because their feet are made for walking, mm-hmm. and they don't get to walk very much. And many of them in the zoos, they have to stand on cement, and this is the worst thing for them. It hurts their feet, and they have early death. Many of them die in zoos, young, very young.
And it depends on the zoo also, right?
Well, yes, in terms of...
I mean,
here's
Happy,
some are much worse
over 50
than
years old, and Patty, which is the other elephant at the Bronx Zoo, she's over 50 years old. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a long life for an elephant.
No, elephants usually live to be around 70.
Really?
But not in zoos. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the wild, I'm saying, unless they were poached. Now, of course, elephants in the wild are also being poached, killed for their ivory, killed for marching on other people's land. They just have a horrible thing going now at the hands of human beings, that they are diminished, they're getting diminished, and their numbers are down like 70% just in the last 10 years. It's very sad.
Now tell me about Happy going to court. How did that happen? What happened, actually?
Well, there was a case filed by the Non-Human Rights Project stating that because of the characteristics of an elephant and some of the things I was just talking about, that the elephant deserves to be in a wilder place, that they should be released into a sanctuary. And unfortunately, they did not win the case. They did have two of the judges that agreed with them. So they are continuing the fight now. Their next case is with three elephants that are in the Fresno Zoo in California.
Okay, but the thing is, they're not asking to give them citizen status, are they? Human status?
No, they're asking them to give them as much freedom as possible to themselves as elephants.
Oh, I
see. To recognize their innate abilities and intelligence and their needs. Unfortunately, when these wild elephants, or any wild animal really, but it's even worse for the large animals, when they're captured, it's kind of a selfish thing for humans that we want to see them. We want to play with them. We want to see what they're like. We want to do this or that. But that's not what the animal wants.
I understand that, but now they were, or this project was asking for elephants to have the same rights as humans, which you can't really do, right? And the judge said, you know, they're intelligent, good animals,
right,
et cetera, but they deserve compassion, but they can't give them human status.
Well, I don't know, you know, the human status thing, I'm not exactly sure how that pans out, but what they really mean is giving them as much freedom as you would give a human in that situation, which would be to let them live out their life, you know, in the closest possible to their natural way.
That would be a sanctuary, right?
Yes.
Got it. So I understand. Now, the poaching is probably the worst thing in the whole world, because a lot of that is still going on. They are trying to protect them. They, you know, have groups, et cetera, in the military or law enforcement or whatever. But, you know, you still have the greed of the good old human being, and they're going to be poached no matter what you do or what you try. And, of course, unfortunately, if they are poached and the mother is killed, baby elephants can't survive.
Well, they can't, but there are, fortunately, I mean, there's the largest organization that rescues baby elephants is in Kenya. It's called the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, and they have a great organization which I've watched develop over the last 25 years, in which they have air flights that go over the parks, and they can see when an elephant's in trouble. They have teams on the ground that help rescue elephants, or they have veterinarians on the ground that go and help the elephants that have been speared, or if an elephant falls into a well. They try to be alert and aware of all these things as much as possible and to help them and rescue them. And this organization has rescued hundreds of elephants, and they're rescued, when they're young and they don't have their mother. They're in the nursery area in Nairobi, Nairobi National Park, and they have caretakers that give them their milk every 2 hours, like a mother would. And then they slowly grow, and they learn to forage for their own food. And when they get to be about 3 years old, they take them out into the wilder parks, and they still have caretakers, but not as much. They still have milk, but not as much, and then they start to slowly intermingle with wild elephants, and then eventually they go back into the wild, and the the most beautiful thing about this is they have now had 50 different elephants who they released back into the wild that they saved as babies, who then come back and see the caretakers with their own little babies that were born wild.
Oh, how sweet. That's amazing. Yeah. But the thing is, you know, they're turning back into the wild, and then you've got these crazies out there taking them out again. It's just, it's like a horror story.
It's a fight. It's a fight, you know, and some countries are much better at it than others. Actually, you know, Kenya is the only country in Africa that does not allow trophy hunting and poaching, and they're very strict about it, although they still do have human-animal conflict when the animals go on the farmland and the farmers try to get them away, and then sometimes they hurt them or kill them. But they have a lot of programs for that. But in some of the other countries, unfortunately, the poaching is rampant again, just like it was 20 years ago. I mean, and these elephants are not going to exist. How much can they stand? And when you see the elephant up close, I've adopted many baby elephants. I've been around a lot of elephants, and I see they're such emotional beings. And when one of their herd is killed, I mean, they all are just devastated. You know, it's just the saddest thing to see humans killing these noble animals.
Are they considered endangered at this point?
Yes, they are.
Okay. So how close to extinction are they? Too close?
Well, I don't really know how to measure that, but, you know, we're doing everything we can. I haven't traveled around the rest of Africa or Asia, but I know in Kenya there's a lot of conservationists, and there's a lot of that. Actually, I think Kenya is maybe the only country in Africa where the elephant population is growing instead of diminishing.
Amazing. Now, you wrote a book called Terriers in the Jungle. What is that about? I didn't get the book, so you got to tell me what it's about.
Oh, well, I'll send you a copy.
Okay.
Yes, it's based on my experiences when I went to I was writing articles about elephants, and I was going to Kenya and going on safaris, and everything was great. You know, I went a few times with my husband, and then the last time we went, I just always love it there, and I love being around the animals. So I said to my husband, wouldn't it be great if we could stay here, and I'd really like to see what else I could do for the elephants, and he agreed. Hmm. So we came home, and we have two small rescue dogs, little terriers. So I had to bring them because, you know, I didn't know how long I was going to be there.
Yeah.
And so we brought the terriers over, and they met lots of wild animals, and they had an amazing experiences. So that's what I started writing down, their experiences.
Uh-huh.
And I've actually written it in their voices because they're like my children, and I know how they think, and I know how they talk to each other. So the book is written by Roxy and Romeo.
Oh.
They're the narrators.
That's cute.
And it tells about the elephants from their point of view.
Oh, my gosh.
And their adventures.
How old
are... And it's won 3 awards this year. It's won the Pinnacle Award, the Book Fest Award, and the IPPI, Independent Publishers Award, which is international.
Fantastic.
So it's doing really well, and we're hoping to make it into a film.
Oh, that would be great. How old are Roxy and Romeo?
Well, now we came back like 2.5, almost 3 years ago. So now Roxy is 12, and Romeo is 10.
Oh, bless their hearts. Well, give them both a big fat hug from me. How's that?
Will do.
And, of course, do you have a website, by the way?
Yes, I do. And the website is my name, which is GeorgiaUmano.com. And I'll spell it for you because I spell it different.
Yeah.
Georgia is with a J. It's GEORJA. And then my last name is Umano, UMANO. So it's just my name, GeorgiaUmano.com, and I have everything on there about the book and, you know, reviews and pictures and the dogs and,
everything. Now, is the book available like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, that type of thing?
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere. Uh-huh.
Fabulous. Well, Georgia, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. I think
well,
we both agree on
me.
One thing. We have to care about our animals big time because we don't want them to go away.
No, we don't. Well, thank you very much for having me on your show.
You betcha. And keep us posted, okay?
Sure.
Thank you. Once again, Georgia Umano. Terriers in the jungle. Let's face it, our animals are our closest friends, a lot closer than most of the friends that we think we have, if you know what I mean.